This is TalkBack. This is your opportunity to communicate with us. Maybe you've got something you'd like to say about phenology, or maybe you just like to say something about my delivery or Scott Hall being in the studios with me.
You're opening it up to a lot.
Yeah, you know, it's never too late. Anyway, I heard from a good friend. His name is Eric, and Eric is the interpretive program director for the Wargo Natural, what is it? Oh, gosh, now I went and punched the wrong button. Let's see here. It's in Lino Lakes. I've not been to his place, but we've met at a lot of phenology meetings. The Wargo Nature Center, 7701 Main Street, Lino Lakes. Anyway, Eric sent along this note saying that Eastern giant swallowtails were first observed on August 6th. For the past 2 years, this has been primarily found feeding on the purple coneflowers outside the building entrance. Cardinal flower was first observed with open flowers in our rain garden on August 7th. Both it and the great blue lobelia are quite abundant in our rain garden this year. The hummingbirds have been quite active in that area. Spotted jewelweed or spotted touch-me-not, first observed August 7th with open flowers. Ripe seed pods for it found on August 9th. Some earlier flowering ones were probably missed. And Pearly Everlasting was first observed with open flowers on August 8th. And the Pearly Everlasting is blooming rampantly up here. The spotted jewelweed or the spotted touch-me-not has been blooming here for almost 3 weeks. And it got me thinking about timing, you know. If you've ever been in Canada and maybe just a little somewhat north of the border, Kenora or north of there, The blueberries up there are ripe much before they're ripe down here. And they just have, like, they don't have, I don't know if it's the number of hours of daylight that they get in a day, or if it's just the fact that they're so much further north that they've got to get their blooming, their fruiting, and getting to ripeness done in a shorter period of time. But at any rate, it seems as though the jewelweed might have a similar sort of an effect. And we're going to talk more about that during the phenology show coming up in just a half hour or so. And we also heard from Harvey Jader, who is our forest ecologist in the Bemidji area, and he said, "I don't have any phenology observations other this week." So Harvey hadn't added a great deal to our knowledge of flowers in that area. He did mention that he had put some notes on the Season Watch page. So if you are interested in checking out Season Watch, you might want to do that. KAXEKBXE Season Watch on Facebook. And from Ben, I got a great picture of what I believe to be a prairie skink. Now, I've never seen a prairie skink. They can grow to be 8-9 inches long, so they're big. They're sort of like a giant salamander. The skinks are the ones that can lose their tail if they're attacked, and really minimal blood loss, and grow it back, though not to the extent that they had before. So it's a bit like being a man. You know, I used to be 6 feet tall. Now I'm probably 5'11". It's not because I lost my tail, but...
Now, are they lizard-like?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, and quick, so far as I know. And Ben didn't say where he was from, but there are two skinks that are in Minnesota. There's the common five-line skink and the prairie skink. And the prairie skink occupies pretty much all of the state west of the Arrowhead. And running up into, you know, up towards Monoman and up that way, and then all the way down to the southern corner. The common skink is found in a couple of counties along the Minnesota River out by Redwood Falls. It's been discovered in maybe Washington County, the eastern side of the Twin Cities, and then Winona down in Houston County. And so it's not common, even though it is called the common skink. Mm-hmm. So pretty interesting just to see a picture of the skink. And I'll talk to Ben. Maybe we can get him to post that on Season Watch and people can get a look at it. It's quite a robust animal. So we'll talk about that too. In the meantime, you and I have been not face-to-face for very, very long. What's been in your neighborhood?
Well, we always keep a close eye on the, I live in Cohasset on the Mississippi, and we keep a close eye on the wild rice. And the plants look very healthy. It's way early for ripeness, but plants look really full and lush and all that. But I've also heard in years past storms and high water can be really destructive to wild rice, and I just wondered if you've had any feedback on rice prospects this year.
I only that what I have seen, where I have seen it, looks pretty good, but it was in flower just maybe 10 days ago, so it's just now, like you say, just now setting seed. I think the high water problem with wild rice is more when they're in the floating leaf stage, because at that point, if the water goes up, it'll pull the roots out of the bottom. I'm not clear. I'm not positive about that, but that is what I believe. If you know something about wild rice, you can give me a call or send us an email and let us know what you know. Looks like it might be a good year. We'll see.
Yeah, and it's like you said, and I said, it's not ripe, and it looks like it might be ripe later this year than years past.
Well, that's been the case for just about every flower, everything that's going
on.
Yeah, everything has been.
Well, you know, some years you say it all catches up, but it seems like this year, not quite.
No, we stayed behind the jewel weed, the spotted touch-me-not, came in, I think, about 4 or 5 days early. And when I'm that close, when I'm within 3 or 4 or 5 days, I usually think to myself, you know, maybe I just wasn't looking in the right place last year or the year, you know, where I've established this record. It's just random, because you can be in one spot and see them in bloom, and you can walk to another spot and not see any. So it just...
The other thing we're seeing, we're guessing, is that a lot of young birds have fledged now, because our feeder is inundated with a lot of birds that, and some of them look like they're not quite sure what they're doing. Is that your experience too?
Do you notice the ones that come and they vibrate their wings? They're like shaking their wings, and those are the juveniles. Feed me, mama. Feed me, dad. I'm starving here. Come on, give me some food. So I'm seeing a lot of that, and of course the hummingbirds. There's always that period, sort of in late July, when people are like, oh, what happened to the hummingbirds? There are none of my feeders. It's taking them a week to drink the juice, and now I've got 3 feeders out, and I'm going through a quart every day.
Wow.
And they would, you know, it seems like they would drink more if they could, and if it weren't for that one little bossy male that hangs around and tries to protect all 3 feeders, there'd be even more. It's unbelievable to watch him, how aggressive he is toward anybody who wants to drink his juice.
All right, tell John about your observations. You can send an email to jlatimer@kaxe.org or go to the Season Watch page.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of fun, especially if you've never quite participated. It's a great introduction to what's going on.